when I was working with the youth, for many times I would be asked the question, how do I make decisions or choices? And I would oftentimes tell the students, well, the first thing you need to do is take a step of faith. You need to just take a step, and then you'll see where the Lord leads you. And there's a story I get to illustrate and how we met our speaker this evening about that principle. And there was five of us who went down to Ensenada, Mexico, and we're partnering with a church in Ensenada called Iglesia Cristiana de Nuevo Pacto with Pastor Javier. And so there was Jay Delmonico, Kevin Joe, Thomas Osako, Casey Caba, and myself. And we were helping to put up drywall at this church. And so as we're working, we're putting up drywall, we're laughing, covered with all this powder. This group from America also comes in later on, a group of, I believe, three of them. And they were from Cornerstone, Simi Valley. And they were just visiting Pastor Javier because they had a relationship with him, and they were just talking. And, you know, we had a lunch with them, and they said, oh, you know, we have to head on off, and we're going to go to this ranch. And they said, oh, what kind of ranch are you going to? It's a ranch for deaf children. And they're, oh, we got to take off. And that was kind of it. They just kind of, boom, just out of there. And we're, okay, that was cool. And then we just went back to just drywalling and stuff like that. And then we have a Mexico home building team, and we've been going to Tijuana all these years. And we decided, since we're now partnering with the church in Ensenada, let's build a home close to Ensenada so that they can minister to this family. And then we started working on the details, and we started figuring out, well, where are we going to stay, though? This church that we partner with, you know, could house us, but not really, okay? One bathroom for a whole team of us, I don't think it's going to work out so well. So we began brainstorming hotels, this or that, and we're like, what about that ranch that we heard about? And so I sent an email out to Luke and said, you know, hey, we have a team who's going to be building a home in Ensenada. Would you mind if we stayed at your ranch? I got an email back saying, you know, come on back, you know, come on down. You know, students are going to be out of session, and we have room for you. We went down, left early on Friday, built, you know, the house, or helped begin to build the house on Friday. And then on Saturday, we completed the house. We had dinner. And then everyone was just kind of like, you know, just tired to say, okay. And Luke comes up to me and says, you know, would you mind if we got to share with the team? And I was like, yeah, you know, Phil, you know, that'd be great. If you can share for just a short amount of time, though, because I think everyone's tired, okay? Around 50 minutes later, okay, everyone is enthralled, though. And all that tiredness, all those sore hands, it was just gone. And people came up to me afterwards saying, this is the reason why the Lord wanted us here. He wanted our team to hear about this man's life, his family's life, and this ranch. And so this evening we get to hear from Luke Everett, who is the director of Rancho Sordomundo, which is a school ministering to deaf children in Mexico. And he will tell you more about it, but he and his son Joshua have come up here from near Ensenada, Guadalupe, or I think is the exact location. But let us give him a warm welcome, and let us really just soak in the word as he brings it to us this evening.
Well, thank you very much. It's a great honor to be here. And I think it's just really fitting because I keep reading the main purpose of where you guys are gathered today. To create awareness in God's church about the tremendous need to see and be involved with invisible communities. The gospel needs to go out to all people, including the voiceless in this world. And I can't think of anybody being more voiceless than the deaf. The deaf are one of the hardest to reach people groups in the world, and probably one of the largest unreached people groups in the world. Because the hearing, we have so many ways that we can hear the gospel. So many ways. Radio, TV, bullhorn on the street, crusades. With a deaf person, only if you got their attention and signed to them that Jesus loves them, and then hope that they even know sign language. because there is a vast population, especially in third world countries, of deaf adults and children that don't even have a language. It's hard for us to grasp what our life would be without language. How do you convey the gospel of Jesus Christ to a non-language group? And so that is why God brought us to Mexico to help reach this non-language group. I want to read from you Jeremiah 29:11. "For I know the plans for you that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare, they're good plans. And not for calamity, they're not bad plans, to give you a future and a hope." So many times when I've traveled and shared this story, I shared it with high school groups, college groups, and adult groups, and many times when you're meeting with the people and you get to know everybody, and everybody has a story, everybody has a plan. I'm planning to go to this college. I'm planning to learn this trade. I'm planning to live in this city. I plan to marry this person. Older people planning where they're going to retire. Everybody making these plans. God, I heard somebody once say, if you ever want to make God laugh, tell him those plans. Because as we read in Jeremiah 29:11, "For I know the plans that I have for you." It's amazing to think that God has a plan for every single person in this room tonight. What is God's plan for your life? Have you found God's plan for your life? Are you seeking God's plan for your life? God has a plan for every person. And as I share tonight, I hope that you are able to be able to look back on some instances in your life where you look back now and go, wow, God is preparing me for something. Because God has a plan for every person here. Just as God had a plan for my life, for my father's life, and for the ministry of Rancho Sordo Mudo. You know, many of you are going, you know, what is Rancho Sordo Mudo? It sounds like something I would order in a Mexican restaurant between the huevos, rancheros, and the menudo. Rancho Sordo Mudo and beans. But not a Mexican food, but Rancho Sordo Mudo is a free home and school for Mexican deaf children. I'm going to take my hearing aid off because I heard this story many times. Rancho Sordo Mudo is about little boys like Esteban. Esteban was a little 7-year-old boy that came to us from Tijuana. His parents were Christians. They wanted their son to learn a language, learn how to read and write, and learn about Jesus. So Esteban came to us. Funny kid. Very funny kid. And he loved playing soccer. He played soccer all the time. He got really good at it. And Esteban grew up at our school. He learned a language. He learned how to read. He learned how to write. But best of all, he learned about Jesus. And one day when he was about 10 years old, he came up to me after church and said, "I want this Jesus to come into my heart and my life." And he prayed, received the Lord into his life. He was baptized in our pool. And he grew up to be a fine young man. And when he was about 17 years old, he said, "I want to go back home and work with my father." And he left. It was always sad to see them go because they're almost like family. And he went home to be with his family. And about a year later, his mother and father came to visit me. And I was sitting in the office, and they came in, and I was like, you know, where's Esteban? Why didn't he come? The mother started crying, and the father got really sad. He said, "Esteban was killed 3 months ago. He was walking home from a soccer game one night. He was hit by a hit-and-run driver and instantly killed." They said, "We came here because we wanted you to know that." He said, "But we also came here because we want to thank you. Because we know that we will see Esteban in heaven again because he came to know of Jesus Christ at this ministry." That is what Rancho Sordo Mudo is about. Giving a hope and a future to the deaf children of Mexico and to their families. But how does something like Rancho Sordo Mudo come about where God had a plan? And God's plan for Rancho Sordo Mudo started many years ago. In New York, well, it started before the beginning of Earth, but as far as I can remember, many years ago, in New York City, of all places, a tiny baby boy was born prematurely to this Christian couple. He was very sick. They had to do 2 complete blood transfusions on him. He wasn't getting better. The doctors put him in an incubator, and they said, "There's nothing more we can do. He's in God's hands." The parents prayed for healing, as any normal parent would. Nothing happened.
And one night some Christian friends were over encouraging this couple, and a gentleman said, you know what, maybe God wants you to let go. So many times when we pray, we tend to pray, oh Lord, let my will be done. When Jesus said, pray to the Father that his will would be done. So this couple got on their knees and they said, okay, Jesus, we give you our son tonight. Whether you chose to take him now with you in heaven or you leave him, he's yours. I think God went, yay, because I have a plan. Because it wasn't 20, 30 minutes later that they got a call from the hospital. And the nurse was all excited going, we went in to check on your son. And right away we noticed that his fingertips and his lips and his cheeks were just turning pink in front of us. We're doing a blood test on him, but he's going to be fine. God had a plan. But it seems that the devil got wind, if it's even possible, because he tried to stop this kid from growing up. He was always sick as a baby. He got every imaginable baby illness you can think of. When he was 1 year old, he wandered into the ocean and almost drowned, and his older brother found him and pulled him out. When he was 2 years old, he was visiting his grandmother's house from his mom and dad, and he fell from the second floor of his grandmother's house all the way down to the bottom. Fortunately, he only broke his collarbone. When he was 3 years old, one day, wandering around aimlessly, he got out of the house and went into his dad's workshop. And there on the workbench was a Coke bottle that had paint thinner in it. And thinking it was soda, he just took it and started drinking it. And his oldest brother found him, passed out on the floor. And they rushed him to the hospital. When he was 4 years old, again, he wandered around, and again, he went into his father's shop. You think this man would have heard of a lock by now, you know? And he found a tube that smelled like toothpaste, and it tasted pretty yummy. He started to eat in this gooey substance, and it was highly toxic, and there he is, passed out on the floor again. Now, this time, his older sister found him passed out. You know, lucky for him, they came from a big family. Off to go to the hospital again. When he was 5 years old, the hospital was ready. And he just started getting sick. And one right after the other, he got chicken pox, scarlet fever, strep throat, and then rheumatic fever. Just one right after the other in the hospital for a while. And it was just God's planning and protection and foreknowledge that I can be with you guys tonight to share this story because I was that little baby. Obviously not a very smart little baby, pretty unsupervised little baby, but God had a plan. And as a result of all the fevers and illnesses and medicine that was pumped into me during that time, by the time I finally got back home, several weeks later, Mom and Dad discovered that I had lost about 85-90% of my hearing through the illness and everything. And they struggled with that. That was tough. You know, and life is tough. Life happens. Things happen to us or around us that we have no control over. And a lot of times, when these life situations happen and they're hard and they hurt and we are stuck in the present right now hurting or dealing with this tough situation in our lives. But the wonderful thing about God is he knows and he sees us in our current struggling, hurting state. But he also sees the end result of something that we are currently going through. You know, Mom and Dad were struggling. What are we going to do about Luke where he learned how to speak, right? Go to a regular school, all these concerns and worries. And God was looking down at Mom and Dad going, Ed, Margaret, don't worry. I have a plan. I will be glorified through this if you allow me. And as Christians, that should comfort us to know that when we are going through a tough situation in our own life, that God is looking down at us saying, don't worry. I have a plan. I will be glorified through this, if you allow me. Life's hard, and sometimes that's hard, isn't it, when you're going through something tough? About 10 years ago, I was in front of my house with my wife, and everything was doing great. Our youngest son had just been dedicated. We just got back from a week in Santa Barbara, and of course, wow, you know, and I had just finished fifth in a mountain bike race. Life was great. My wife got up to go to the house, and then she stopped, and she looked at me, and she said, my head hurts really bad, and then she fainted. The doctors later said about 70% of the time, they don't get back up. She had a massive aneurysm in her brain that started hemorrhaging. It took the doctors in Mexico 2 days to figure out why she had such a bad headache, and we were able to wake her up right away, and her headache wouldn't go away, and by the time they discovered the hemorrhage, they said it was too late to save her. There was nothing we could do. She was basically going to die. We put her in an ambulance and we rushed her to a hospital in California, in San Diego. And she underwent emergency brain surgery, and they only gave her a 30% chance of surviving and a 10% chance that if she did survive of ever walking and regaining use of her arms and legs. And in the darkness of ICU, looking at my beautiful wife with these 15 lines and tubes coming out of her, I was like, okay, God, I want to believe that you're looking at me right now saying, Luke, don't worry, I have a plan. I will be glorified through this if you allow me. I didn't like it. And I struggle with it, but I trust in God because he's God and he knows better. And the wonderful thing is when my wife did survive, not only did she survive, but through a series of miracles, she regained use of her limbs and began walking and everything again. And 2 years later, after all this happened, in front of 500 people in downtown San Diego in a very fancy motel, they had a big fancy gala party that was put on by Rehabilitation Services of California. My wife received a special award because of a miraculous recovery and the fact that she continued helping people while she was in a wheelchair and everything. And when my wife got the award, the first thing she said is, I want you to know that it was God. She said, for man, this is impossible, but for God, nothing is impossible. This was a completely secular event. And finally, near the end, after she's finished thanking everybody, the doctors and therapists, she said, everything that I can do, I do through Jesus Christ who gives me strength. And at that moment, God was glorified in my wife's life. You know, we would never know how we're going to deal with a situation until it happens. But know that God is glorified in the good and in the bad if we allow him. So, okay, enough of my wife. Back to me, because it's all about me tonight. So, back to my story. As a result of me losing my hearing and everything, Mom and Dad decided to learn sign language. And we were living in North Carolina. So Mom learned sign language, another step in God's plan. And my mom became an interpreter in our home church, and that sort of opened the world to the deaf community and my parents. And I got really involved in helping and working with the deaf. Several months after that, maybe longer, my dad went to a pastor's conference in Florida. We were living in North Carolina, and the only reason my dad went to the conference, because my dad was never an ordained minister, he wasn't a pastor, but he had the nicest car in the congregation, and the other pastors had asked my dad to drive them to Florida. So basically, my dad was a driver. But there he is at the conference, and near the end of the conference, a young man played a song on an organ, and the song was called Jesus Use Me. And the chorus of it goes, Jesus Use Me, please, Lord, don't refuse me, for surely there's something I can do. But what it made it special was that the guy that was playing this song had no arms from the elbows down and no legs. And he played it on a very special organ. And it's so amazing that God can take one song one night by one person and reach out and radically touch another life, and that was my dad. My dad was sitting there almost crying, going, you know, I have everything, and I'm not being used by God. So my dad went forward that night, and he dedicated his life to become a missionary. Wherever you go, God, wherever you send me, I will go. Another step in God's plan. So my dad came home from the conference. He was all excited, and he started praying. Okay, where are we going to go to be missionaries? Africa, India, China, not necessarily to the deaf. He was just going to go where God sent him. And I kind of look back now and realize I blew a huge opportunity, because I often think, man, if I'd only snuck into my dad's room late at night and whispered, go ye to Hawaii, maybe I'd be surfing some waves with blonde hair right now. But God in his unique way revealed his plan to my dad, and my dad went on a missions trip. I am a huge fan of missions trips. If you guys haven't signed up to go on a missions trip, you need to go on one, because God just might change your life. We had a missionary friend of my parents that they had been supporting. He needed some help. So my dad loaded up the car with food and clothing, and he drove all the way down to Monterrey, Mexico, and he began helping this missionary that was building a Bible school. And one day they took a break from the labor and were walking around the city of Monterrey, and as they were talking in the park, a little boy comes up to my dad and starts motioning if he wanted his shoes shined. And it turns out that the little boy was deaf. And this big old city of Monterrey, they bump into a little deaf boy on the streets. A coincidence? No, I don't think so. See, when you're a Christian, the word coincidence is not in your vocabulary. Everything's a God incident. And the missionary looked at my father and he says, Ed, this little boy is deaf. He's been abandoned by his family. He makes a living shining shoes. He says, Ed, these children need someone to tell them about Jesus, the deaf children of Mexico. Right there, at that moment, my dad could see that everything that happened in his life was to prepare him for that. Me losing my hearing, learning sign language, dedicating his life to become a missionary. The deaf children of Mexico need to know Jesus. He came home a week or so later. He was all excited. He sat us all around the dinner table and he announced, we're going to Mexico. We're going to move to Mexico and be missionaries to the deaf children down in Mexico. And I was 7 and almost 8, and I'm going, yay, we're going somewhere. You know, let's go. Is it over there by the 7-Eleven? You know, walking out there. I had no clue who, where, or what a Mexico was, okay? Because this was before Taco Bells and Chalupas and Talking Chihuahuas and Churritos, which I still haven't yet to find in Mexico. But when God reveals his plan to you, take that step of faith and follow him. Do it. Because the devil is going to try to discourage you and talk you out of it and send people to give you bad advice. When mom and dad made their decision, of course, everybody thought they were nuts. And the most surprising person was the pastor of our home church. He called mom and dad into his office and he was like, Ed, Margaret, what are you doing? He says, you guys can't do this. You're both in your 40s. You have 6 children. You haven't been to seminary. You haven't been to Bible school, jungle camp, blessed by all Roberts, I guess. I don't know what this guy thought you needed to be a missionary. Paul says in Galatians 1:1 that he was a man sent by God, not by man nor through agency of man. And dad was like, no, pastor, I know God wants us in Mexico. We're going. So he began selling everything he owned. He sold his very successful neon sign business, and he was selling his beautiful red brick house on Sterling Street, and the people in the church and our neighbors would be like, don't sell your house, keep the house. He said, what if you get to Mexico and it doesn't work out, you have a home you can come back to. And dad would be like, that's not faith. No, I know God wants us in Mexico. We're going to Mexico. And he sold the home, and he bought this big old honking ugly school bus. And he ripped all his seats out of it, and he converted it into this poor man's Beverly Hillbillies-style Winnebago thing. You know, he put a big bed in the back for him and mom, and he made a little bathroom and a little kitchen, and he put a bunk beds in. And my brother Eddie and I, we had to share the top bunk the whole trip, like this wide, which is why we both ended up so tall and skinny. My 2 sisters on the bottom bunk, a brother on a hammock, and another brother on the couch, and he painted the bus maroon and white and put the words Amazing Grace across the front of the bus. Amazing Grace. It should have said amazing we even got out of North Carolina in a stupid bus. But by the grace of God, we did. And off we went, kicking and screaming all across America, which is another whole story in an HBO miniseries one of these days. But eventually we arrived in Ensenada, Baja California, Mexico, March of 1969, and we began a free home and school for Mexican deaf children because God had a plan. And when God reveals his plan for your life and you take that step of faith to follow him, God's going to provide. There are many promises in the Bible, and this one's in Philippians 4:19, and my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. When you step out to serve God, he will provide. We are faith missionaries. We never send out a newsletter asking for money. In 43 years, we don't have a fundraising board. We don't do any fundraising. I love to travel and speak, but for the purpose of sharing the story. One of the first ways I remember this faith thing working was when we arrived in Ensenada, I was about 9 years old. And the 2 weeks after we got there, we already had 12 deaf children living in our home with us. 7 months later, my mom was home by herself with my little sister and I and these 12 kids, because my dad and my older brothers had been gone for a while collecting building supplies. And one afternoon, mom ran out of food. She didn't have any money. She didn't know anybody in town. She was trying to be the faithful missionary wife, but she confessed later that she was complaining. She was like, God, why did you bring me here? Why did you give me these kids? Now I don't have anything to feed them. So she called us all around the dinner table, and we all sat down, and she put down a potato and a few carrots, and she said, we're going to pray that God sends us some food because this is all we have. And I volunteered to pray first because I did not want carrots for dinner. So I'm like, please send lasagna. But we all prayed, and my mom closed with a word of prayer. And like I said, we went off to plan. I'm 9 years old. Me and the boys went around playing. And it wasn't 30 minutes later that somebody was knocking at the door. And my mom opened up the door, and there was this young American guy in his 20s standing there holding a box of food. He said, I was just in the neighborhood distributing food to the church a few blocks over, and they mentioned that you have a ministry for children. He said, do you guys need some food? And, of course, my mom's going, oh, praise God and hallelujah. And then the boys and I see that, and now we're praying for Hot Wheels and Tonka trucks and money and all. And he also came in with a 100-pound sack of pinto beans. And to this day, 43 years later, we have never run out of pinto beans at our ministry. Really. We eat a lot of other food, thank God. But my point is, for 43 years, God has faithfully provided food, clothing, educational supplies, building supplies, medical supplies. We've had a dentist just down cleaning all our kids' teeth. Remember, when you step out to serve God, you are serving the creator of the universe. It is not out of his power to provide for you. Believe and trust and know that God will provide your needs. You know, another amazing way God provided was, 7 months after that, mom and dad sort of needed to expand. You know, the house was getting crowded. We were getting more kids. So they started praying and looking for properties elsewhere or a bigger building. And they were led to a piece of property about 25 miles away from Ensenada in the beautiful Guadalupe Valley. And out in Guadalupe lived a lady by the name of Mary Rogoff. Mary was a big old Russian lady that had a medical clinic where she did physical therapy for free on children. And Mary had a lot of land, okay? Not a little lamb, a lot of land. So mom and dad went to see Mary, and they're like, you know, we hear you have land for sale. We want to buy land. And Mary's like, well, what do you want the land for? And they said, well, we're going to build a home and school for deaf children. And Mary starts freaking out. Oh, my God, you're angels. You have to be angels. I can't believe you're in my house. She said, that little girl over there is deaf, pointing to a little girl playing on the floor. She said, 2 weeks ago, a social worker from Tijuana showed up at my clinic with this little girl and said, Mary, can you please take this girl and help her? We found her abandoned on the streets of Tijuana. We know you work with children. Can you help her? And Mary was like, I do physical therapy. I don't work with deaf children. But now wanting to send a child back to the street, said, well, leave her here with me and I'll see if I can help her. And now 2 weeks later, these two tall gringos from North Carolina show up wanting to buy land for a home and school for deaf children. Another God incident. So Mary took my parents out to this beautiful big piece of property. And as my dad stood there by the highway, he said he almost could feel it in his heart as if God was saying, buy this, Ed. I've been saving it for you. He was so sure that he heard that. You know, it's so important that we have that relationship with our Lord Jesus, that we can hear him when he's telling us something, whether he's telling us through his word or through the mouth of another brother or sister or that still, quiet voice in our hearts. You know, I'm always challenging these young people, you know, take the iPod out every once in a while. You know, you're going to be over to rock into Lady Gaga or something, and God's going to be like, hey. So dad looks at Mary and he goes, we'll buy it. He says, if I give you a $50 deposit tomorrow, if I meet you at the lawyer's office, can I knock the fence down and start clearing the road? He was ready to go. So Mary says, okay, you bring the $50, I'll bring the land papers, and we'll get the paperwork going on this. So they shook on it, and Mary left, and my mom's looking at my dad. She's like, what $50? She's like, we have no money. Why did you tell Mary you're going to give her $50 tomorrow? And dad was like, got to provide. So they prayed about it, and they went back home to Ensenada, and before they got to the house, they stopped at the post office. And we never get mail in Mexico. We have a P.O. box in San Diego. But there was one letter in the post office box in Ensenada. And it was from the volunteer fire department in North Carolina where my dad used to work as a volunteer fireman. And then it was a check for exactly $50 from the firemen's wives. They had a pie sale. They sold $50 worth of pies. They sent it to my dad. My God shall supply all thy need. Now, it wasn't 60 so they could have celebrated and had ice cream, which would have been nice. No, 50 made the down payment. And as we made the money started coming in, we started making payments. When we sold up to, when we paid up to $6,000, Mary tore up all the rest of the contract. And she said, that's all the money I want. I want to be a part of this ministry too. So we got 500 acres of land for $6,000. And right now what's funny is we are in the heart is what is known as the new Napa Valley of the world. It's crazy. You know, our property is worth like $2 million now. So now I can sell it and get that deaf school in Hawaii going after all. You know? God will provide. So when we made the payments and we moved out from Ensenada to the ranch, and we've had people come and they'll go, wow, this place is nice, and God has blessed our ministry. You know, we have beautiful dining facilities. We have two dormitories. Three shops, about 9 classrooms. We have a basketball court, a swimming pool, a beautiful auditorium that was just completed. You know, my God, so supply your needs. But in the beginning, it wasn't always that nice. In the beginning, we didn't even have running water, no electricity. We literally lived outdoors under a lean-to, a roof that my dad built. No walls, dirt floor. He put all the bunk beds under this shelter. And we lived outdoors like this for 6-7 months while building our very first home. Now I'm 10, and it's pretty cool to sleep outside, but it gets really old really fast. Then it starts getting really cold really fast. And then seriously, more than once I would roll over and wake up, and there would be cows just standing there looking at you. Oh! And it started getting really scary really fast. And we built this huge two-story house. And it's amazing the house went up at all because we got a retired construction worker from Florida by the name of Victor to help build this house. And Victor didn't speak any Spanish. And we hired a Mexican national from the town of Guadalupe next to us to come and build this house, Jaime. Jaime didn't speak any English. And these two guys came together to build this monstrous two-story house. But Victor thought he spoke Spanish, because he put the letter O at the end of every American word the whole time. And he would be serious. He would be like, Jaime, I need a hammer and a nail. Bring it here by that wall. You know, get the ladder O, put it there, the whole time. I'm surprised Jaime just didn't take a border and smack him up in the head O with it. But by the grace of God, the house O went up. Beautiful two-story house with girls' dormitory, boys' dormitory, you know, big old bathroom in the middle for all the kids, and you can't bang on the door because they're deaf. My brothers' and sisters' bedrooms, and then down the bottom floor was my parents' bedroom, a living room, a dining room. There was all sort of school when they weren't eating it in the kitchen. Everything in one big building. It took a year and a half to build. And I remember when we finally moved in, I was like, okay, this is nice. I finally have a room. I have walls around me and a roof over me and a real floor. You know, I don't have cows looking at me in the morning. You know, just my ugly brother and I could deal with him. Life was starting to look normal for a 10-year-old boy. And a church group came and helped us paint the house. It was a big project. And finally, the house was finished. We had a party. The house is finally finished. Then 3 weeks after it was completed, it caught on fire. And then the whole house burnt down to the ground. And then we had nothing left again. God has a plan, Jeremiah 29:11. God will provide for that plan, Philippians 4:19. And God will give you the strength, the endurance to carry on with his plan. Philippians 4:13, my wife's favorite verse is, I can do all things through Jesus Christ who strengthens me. God will give you the strength and the endurance to carry on his work. When the house burned down, we thank God no one was hurt in the fire. The children were put in orphanages around us. And Mom and Dad went to visit a missionary friend of theirs. And as he opened the door, they both stood there crying. And he was like, Ed, Margaret, what's the matter? What happened? And all my dad could say is, we have nothing left. It's all gone. We have nothing left. And then the missionary hugged him. He said, but we still have Jesus because he promised to never leave us nor forsake us. And that's another wonderful promise that's in the Bible. You know, many times as we go through life, we tend to reach that point sometimes where we go, I have nothing. I have nobody. I'm all alone. I don't have anything. But what did Jesus say? I will never leave you nor forsake you. Just before he returned to his Father in heaven, he gave us a promise, and lo, I am with you to the end of days. So with that reminder, through the tears, Mom and Dad saw the vision and the children, and they returned to the ranch, and they continued pressing on building this amazing ministry. You know, over the last 43 years, we've had hundreds of deaf children come to our school, learn a language, learn who Jesus is. Thousands of lives and individuals challenged and changed. Families such as Lizette. You know, Lizette was a mean, horrible, rotten little deaf girl when they gave her to us. Oh, my goodness. She was like 5 years old, and her parents couldn't wait to get rid of her. She didn't have a language. She would hit everybody. You would put her in bed. She would get on the floor. You would put her on the floor. She would get in bed. You tried to eat her how to eat. She would stab you in the fork. The dorm mother would come to me and go, please send Lizette back home. She's too hard to deal with. And I'm like, no, we're here to change these kids, and I helped them. So this dorm mother quit because of this one little girl. We had 12 other girls. But thank God we got another dorm mother who was much more patient and mature and loving and had a bigger belt and was able to, no, not really. So Lizette started learning a language. And she started learning a little, but she was still bad. Oh, my goodness. But finally, one day, when she was 11 years old, after church, she comes up to me. And she said, I know I'm a bad girl. And we all agreed with her. She said, I want Jesus to come in my heart and change my life. So this little 11-year-old girl, Lizette, she prayed to ask Jesus into her heart. And a couple of days later, we baptized her in our pool. And I remember it so clear. She ran up to me and she's hugging me. And she says, I'm going to be a good girl now because Jesus is in my heart. And I left all my sin in the swimming pool when I got baptized. And I thought that was just a beautiful picture in her mind. That's her coming out of the water, just a sin washing off of her. And she was a great kid. She ended up winning the Best Behaved Girl of the Year award. She was a God changed her life. And 3 months later, her parents came to visit, and they said, we want to take Lizette home now for good. She'd been living with us for almost 6 years. And so we're sitting in the office, and I told Lizette, you know, your mom and dad want to take you home. And she was going, no, I'm staying here. She says, I like it. I'm learning. She says, if I go home, I'm going to become stupid. She said, no, I want to stay here. And they argued for a while, but she wouldn't. No, I'm staying here. I'm learning. I like it. So the parents said, okay, she can stay. So I said, oh, great. I said, please take Lizette back to her classroom before you leave. So they all walked out, and about an hour later, I saw the mom and dad drive out. And when school was over that day, Lizette's teacher came into my office. She's all excited. She said, today, Lizette came up to my classroom and called me out, the teacher. And she said, I want to tell my mom and dad something. Will you voice for me? And here the sad reality of these kids can't even have a conversation with their parents, you know, because the kid can't talk and the parents don't know sign language. Yet this little girl wants to tell her mom and dad something. So the teacher's voicing for her, and she looks at them and goes, Dad, Mom, you guys need to be saved. She says, you need to take the black out of your heart and put in Jesus. She was like, Grandma makes us go to this big church where we have to pray to all these statues. She said, but that's wrong. You know, God wants us only to pray to him. She was like, Jesus died on the cross. He was buried. But then he rose and went to heaven. But now he wants to come into your heart. The pure and simple gospel from a little 11-year-old girl. And as she explained it a little more, she finally stopped and said, Do you understand? And they said, yeah. She said, oh, good. You ready to get saved? She said, do you want to get saved now? And the father just started crying, and they both shook their heads yes. And right there in front of the classroom, Lizette's teacher and herself led her mother and father to Jesus Christ. Another family that has found a hope and a future. And we've had amazing stories of God changing lives. And we've had our struggles, you know, such as the house burning down and my wife. And Christmas Eve of 76, my oldest brother, Steve, was killed in an automobile accident. He was 25 years old. 3 years later, Christmas Day, my youngest sister, Barbara, passed away from leukemia. She was 17 years old. I often shared Barbara's story to encourage, especially you young people, Because Barbara loved Jesus at a very young age. I remember when she got saved and she was like 5 or 6. And when we moved to Mexico, she would always live in the girls' dormitory, just loving on them, combing their hairs, teaching them, and just loving them with the love of Jesus. She was helping out in the school all the time. And when she got sick with leukemia, we had to bring her up to UCLA Medical Center. And she was on the 7th floor. And nobody had hair because of the chemotherapy and radiation treatments back then. We were in experimental stages. And she had beautiful long red hair that fell out. But she wore a hat and a beanie like everybody else. And she would go up and down the hall taking people's hats off and laughing at their head and running away. And come back and pray with them. And so many people were drawn to her. She never got angry or bitter about her situation. And 2 weeks prior to her passing away, she could no longer talk to us because she always had to have a tube down her throat to keep her lungs clear. But we conversed in sign language still. And it was Christmas Day, and I was hanging out with her boyfriend, and all of a sudden, word came to us, something's going on with Barbara up in ICU. And as we both took off to go up and see, before we got out, just as we got to the elevator, a nurse came out and stopped us and said it was too late, that my little sister just passed away. And as we got together in the lobby, of course, we're crying and we're sad and everything. And my mom came down. And mom said, something amazing just happened. Mom said, I was outside the observation window of ICU watching the doctors running around trying to keep Barbara alive. And then she said, all of a sudden, Barbara opened her eyes and saw my mother standing there. And she began signing. And she looked right at my mom and she signed, don't worry, Mom. Jesus is coming to take me. It's finished. And she smiled and put her hands down and went to be with Jesus right then and there. And I hope that's something we all see when our time comes. Because the Bible says our life is a vapor. Don't waste your life. You young people, don't waste your youth. You have the ability to reach out and touch another life that might impact future generations. Live your life in such a way that no matter where you are, whether it's at your work or at school or at the mall or in traffic, that people know that you love Jesus. Live your life in such a way so when that time comes, whether you're 17, 47, or 107, you will be able to say the same thing. Jesus is coming to take me. It's finished. Because you did what God put you on earth to do. And Barbara went to be with Jesus. The day after Christmas of 1994, my second oldest brother, Mike, passed away from pancreatic cancer. I spent Christmas Day driving him from my ranch in Mexico to a hospice in L.A. and just watching him die. And I've had people ask me, dude, how can you go on living, laughing, joking, you know, this drug-free, alcohol-free, therapy-free life? It's because I can do all things through Jesus Christ who strengthens me. I hurt. I cry. Every once in a while, I ask God why, and I don't think it's wrong to ask God why. I think it's wrong to expect an answer. But know in your own life that no matter what happens, God will take you through it. Now, I don't want to scare people away going, I don't want to be a missionary now. You know, half my family's going to die, my house is going to burn down. No, thank you. But no matter what happens, God will take you through it. He will mold you. He will use you for His glory. I thank God I am a Christian. Man, if I wasn't a Christian, I would be a mean bit of rotten, drunken person sitting outside of 7-Eleven somewhere drinking this cheap wine. I'm jealous. I'm jealous of Barbara. I'm jealous of Stephen. I'm jealous of my brother Michael. I'm jealous of both of my parents who have now gone off to be with the Lord because where are they right this minute? You know, right this minute, they're in heaven. Looking at Jesus. And I'm in Torrance looking at you. But that's okay. I'm honored to be here. You know, God has a plan. God will provide for that plan. God will give you the strength, no matter how hard it is, to push through with His plan. And finally, well, what's in it for me? Well, in 2 Samuel 21:22, we read that the Lord has rewarded me according to my righteousness. But yet, you know, I can't think of no greater reward than the one day being in heaven, bowing before Jesus who made it all possible, and hearing Jesus say, well done, faithful and beloved servant. enter into the kingdom of heaven prepared for you. Well done, because I did what God put me on earth to do. And that should be the goal of every person in this room to hear Jesus say, well done, because you did what God put you on earth to do. But you know, there's going to be another amazing reward, I think. And I just love to imagine this as I do finally get into heaven and I'll be there with my mom and my dad and my brothers and sisters and the wonderful staff that we've had over the years, who without them the ranch wouldn't be possible. And we will look out and we're going to see thousands of former deaf people, but now they're all singing and praising God with their new voices. They hear the angels and each other with their new hearing, all because of one man saying yes to God's plan for his life. What an amazing day that's going to be. I think it's when there when all our years of sorrow and tears and hard work will vanish as we see our reward in heaven. Who will you see in heaven? I hope I don't have to ask, will you be in heaven? I hope you realize that God does have a plan for your life, but before God can reveal that plan to you, you need to ask him to forgive you of your sins. You need to ask him to come and live in your heart. You need to believe in him with all your heart. And then God will show you his plan for your life. Somebody once asked my wife, who's also deaf, if she wished she could hear. And Josefina said, no, she said, I thank God I am deaf. She said, because if I couldn't hear, I never would have come to this ministry and I never would have learned about Jesus. Then she said, but it doesn't matter. She said, because I know that one day I'm going to hear again. And that is the hope and the promise that God has given all these children and deaf everywhere. Because imagine the time that they are really deaf on earth is going to seem like seconds compared to eternity of singing and praising God in heaven. So before I finish, I want to do a song for you in sign language that kind of wraps up what I just talked about, who and what we will see in heaven.
Someone called your name. You turned and saw this young man, and he was smiling as he came. And he said, friend, you may not know me now. And then he said, but wait. You used to teach my Sunday school when I was only eight. And every week you say a prayer before the class would start. And one day when you said that prayer, I asked Jesus in my heart. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I am a life that was changed. I am so glad you came. Then another man stood before you and said, remember the time a missionary came to your church and his pictures made you cry. You didn't have much money, but you gave it anyway. Jesus took the gift he gave, and that's why I'm here today. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I am a was changed. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I am so glad you gave. One by one they came, far as the eye could see. Each life somehow touched by your generosity. Little things that you had done, sacrifices made, I noticed on the earth, in heaven now proclaimed. And I know up in heaven you're not supposed to cry, but I am almost sure there were tears in your eyes as Jesus took your hand and you stood before the Lord. He said, my child, look around you, for great is your reward. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I am a life that was changed. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I am so
So God has a plan. You know, take that step of faith, knowing that God's going to provide for that plan. Take that step of faith, knowing that God's going to give you the strength that He has for your life. And take that step of faith with our eyes on the prize of just one day celebrating all eternity with Jesus. So, Father God, we thank you for all that you have done for us, God. We thank you that you died for us. We thank you that you rose. We thank you that in you, God, in you we have life. We thank you for the hope of one day being with you in heaven, Jesus. I thank you for each person here, Father God, tonight, and knowing that you have a plan for their lives. And then, Father God, even though you are such an awesome, amazing God, that even though there are over 7 billion people walking around on this planet today, you know each and every one of us as we were the only person on this planet, God. And you know our hearts, you know our thoughts, you know our lives. And Father God, you might be looking down at some of us going, yes, I have an amazing plan for your life. But that sin in your life is hindering you from seeing my plan. And so Father God, I pray for anyone here that is struggling with a sin in their life that's hindering them from clearly seeing your plan for their life, God, that they will remove that sin from them. They will just leave it at your cross, that they would seek your forgiveness, repent, and follow you, Father God, in the wonderful plan that you have for their life. Thank you so much, God, that you love us. Thank you so much for your amazing, unconditional love, that there's nothing we can do to make you love us any more or any less. And so, Father God, I pray that we will all live our lives in such a way that with the only goal is to glorify you and point others to you. that we wouldn't try to see life as fair. Life isn't fair, God. You created life not to be fair, but to glorify you and to point others towards you, Father God. So help us to accomplish that. Thank you, God, even though we are so unworthy of serving you, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, that through your death and resurrection of your Son, you have chosen us and made us worthy. So help us to serve in a way, God. Help us never to take lightly the great cost that it costs you. So I thank you for this church, God. I just pray that you will continue to bless its pastor and a congregation. And I pray that for the young people, God, that you will go before them. The world is just throwing so much garbage at them to distract them, to get them off track. I just pray that your angels will go before them and help them to keep their eyes on you. So we thank you, and we love you. In Jesus' name, amen.